So glad you're here. If you're with us in Muskego, good to see you there. Waterford, also glad to see you. Anybody have a problem with the parking spot today, finding one? No? Anybody in your seat out there today? It's a good morning, isn't it, that way? I mean, everything seems to be going just the way that we've planned it that way. For sure the way God's planned it there. Now, if I could guarantee that you would be a wiser person in 31 days, that you would feel more in control of your life, and you could do it following a very, very simple plan that I have in about 10 minutes a day, how many say, I'm on board with that? Yeah, for sure, right? There'll be a spiritual bonus that goes with it too. Please, don't let me forget to tell you that plan before we go today, okay? Because I want to start with a question for you. If tonight God were to come to you, because he's really impressed with everybody that's out here today, but if God were to come to you tonight and ask you, what is the one wish that I could grant for you right now? I mean, so you would be on the spot. You've got to come up with it right now. And it has to be something personal for you. So world peace is off the table there. What's the one thing that you'd like me to ask for you, for me to do for you right now? What would you tell God? How many lotto winners will we have here in the next day or so? I mean, would you be thinking wealth? Would you be thinking, just health? Would you be thinking, for your blessing upon, my family? Would you be thinking, just kind of more benevolently, that the Packers would actually recover an onside kick if you could turn the clock back there? I mean, do you know what you'd ask God? Yeah. It actually did happen to Solomon. Solomon was being crowned the third king of the nation of Israel, and that evening God came to him and said, Solomon, on this coronation day of yours, what is the one thing that you would ask of me, and I am going to do it for you? You know what Solomon asked for? He said, God, would you give me wisdom? And here's God's response to that. It's found in 1 Kings chapter 3. If you want to look at it in a little more detail, a little bit later, you can. But 1 Kings chapter 3, this is what God said. He said, yes, I'll give you what you've asked for. I'll give you a wiser mind than anyone else has ever had or will ever have. So he goes, yeah, for sure. But then look at this. And in addition, God was... And the text goes on to say, he was just so pleased with Solomon's response. He said, I'm also going to give you what you didn't ask for. Riches and honor. In fact, no one in the world will be as rich and as famous as you for the rest of your life. Let's take a couple minutes right now and just kind of lean into and look at what is the value of wisdom. So if you have your Bible with you, take it right now and let's go to the book of Proverbs. If you didn't bring a Bible with you, find somewhere nearby a pew Bible right now and open it to page number 988. We're going to pick it up at verse number 13. Please feel free just to read out loud if you want with me while we're going through this. The value of wisdom, that's what we're looking at right here. Verse 13, ready? Blessed are those who find wisdom and those who gain understanding. For she, that's wisdom, for she is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. She, who is she? Wisdom, yep. She is more precious than rubies, and get this, nothing you desire can compare with her. Now let me just pause for just a second here, real quick aside. I think a real good aside, real quick aside, and that's this. I want everybody to note this, and that is God loves to give wisdom. If you want wisdom, God wants to give that to you. He says in the book of James, if anyone lacks wisdom or feels that you need wisdom, he goes, come to me, ask of me, and I will give it liberally that way. Wisdom, you could say, is the blessing that many other blessings flow from in our life. Now, would you agree that your WQ trumps and is a multiplier in your life? Would you all agree with me there? Like a little more information? Okay, we'll step back on that a second. IQ. Everybody know what IQ is? Your IQ is your what? Yeah, it's your intelligent quotient, all right? How many here know your IQ? All right, very good. How many don't know it, but you just assume it's pretty high? Yeah, I mean, who needs to know when you're just like, yeah, I just like, sure, of course it is, right? All right, that's your IQ. Then you have your EQ. Now, that's not your equalizing inside of you there. Your EQ, do you know this one? Your EQ is your emotional quotient. It's how you're able to connect with other people and work with people that way. It's kind of an intuitive thing that you might have. So you all have an EQ as well, an emotional quotient. But then you've got your WQ. And your WQ is your wisdom quotient. Now, as I said, WQ is the one to lean into. Why would that be? IQ. Smart people. Here's my question. Do people with high IQs, do really smart people ever do really stupid? Is it okay to say stupid in church? It's okay. Okay. So do really smart people ever do really stupid things? Yes or no? Oh, you got that right. In fact, you go onto the internet and just start looking at things like that, and you can have a laughing session for the entire day about really, really smart people, and you're like, what were they thinking or they weren't thinking at that point? EQ, can really fun people ever do really stupid things? Yes or no? Yeah, how many know one? I won't ask you how many are one, all right? But yeah. Okay, so we know that too. Now, WQ, can really wise people do really stupid things? Yes or no? Not often. Not really. And in fact, the higher your wisdom quotient, it really has that tendency to minimize even the dumb things that you do in life. This trumps these others. But as we said, it's also the multiplier. The higher your wisdom quotient, your WQ, it multiplies your IQ. It multiplies your emotional quotient as well. WQ, it trumps, but it multiplies that way. So if we were to ask, kind of bottom line, the value of wisdom, what is it? It is high. It is so, so valuable as we gain that in our lives. So let's go to the plan. What is the plan that we can grow our emotional quotient, that we can grow in wisdom together, right? Here's what we're going to do. For the next 31 days together, we are going to read through the book of Proverbs. Now, if your Bible's still open to the book of Proverbs right now, Proverbs is the wisdom of God that he's given to us. And the way that he's given to us is so understandable and it's so attainable. We'll talk a little bit more about that in just a second. There are, anybody want to take a guess how many chapters are in the book of Proverbs? Take a wild guess since we're doing a 31-day adventure together. Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah, there's 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. So here's our plan. We are going to read one chapter a day as it corresponds to the day. So we look at the calendar up here. Here we are in the month of February. Today is February 1st. So what chapter are we going to read on February 1st? Whether it's your IQ or your WQ, it's high. I can tell that right now. So today we're going to read chapter 1. Tomorrow on the 2nd, we're going to read what chapter? Good. Now, we're going to jump now. So are you ready? On Tuesday, the 10th of February, what chapter will we be reading? You got the plan, right? Now, what happens if you miss a day? So, you miss the 3rd and it's the 4th. What are you going to do? oh, this is bad. You're going to have to go back all the way and reread every single chapter. No, you don't, right? Whatever day it is, that's the chapter that you're going to read that day. Got it? All right, second part to the plan, though. I said it's going to be 10 minutes or so, probably less for most. Once you've read the chapter, you are going to note one wisdom truth. You're going to take one word of wisdom from that which is given you that day, and then you're just going to write it down. So write on a piece of paper. If you want to text it to yourself, if you just want to start, one page, one document, and just write down what it is. Now, a couple examples. I just asked a few people around here, could you help me out? Read chapter one and tell me what one word of wisdom might be for you that way. So we put them in a couple different formats up here. If you're using Facebook, this individual said this. After reading chapter one, they kind of zoomed in on verse 23, but they said, my heart can be at peace in the midst of all circumstances because I have Jesus. Another one. They said, after reading chapter one, wisdom will be found if I seek God and listen. So again, they just took that one truth out of there, put it down, marked it there. Now, that's for you that do Facebook. It's easy just to tweet them out, and we're going to do it at hashtag wisewords or hashtag FoxRiverCC. Another person said this, embrace wisdom and instruction. Really, really simple. So I'm just going to open the chapter. I'm going to look at that. I'm going to make that, after I read, I'm going to go like, well, the one word of wisdom today, and there's going to be a lot in there, but the one that you're going to say for today, it's going to be this. Now, what we're going to ask is then share it. Now, if you want, you can join us here at Fox River, go to our Facebook page, and just share your word of wisdom for that day, and you're going to see others that are up here. If you want to do it on our Twitter feed, that part would be good as well. But what I really would encourage you to do would be to find a friend and see if they want to do the wisdom challenge with you, 31 Wisdom Day. You don't even have to be a follower of Jesus to do this. All you do is, ask your friend, would you like to be wiser in 31 days? If they say no, good thing to jump. No, I'm just kidding right there. I mean, most people are just going like, what are we going to do? We're going to take this one book in the Bible. Don't freak out. Take this one book in the Bible, and we're going to read one chapter a day, and we're just going to look for one wisdom truth in that. I guarantee you, there's going to be some great conversations that are taking place as a result of this. If you're asking a friend, there's a fair possibility that they might not have a Bible. Right? So what do? You just send them out to buy them a Bible or, that way. Let's keep it really easy that way. So just send them to Bible.com. I mean, you can't get much easier, right? Bible.com. And once you're there, you just tell them, Bible.com. We're going to read together the book of what? Book of Proverbs, exactly. So we're going to go to the book of Proverbs. And then you'll just need to tell them, or you want to do this yourself, you need to pick one of the versions. Now, again, keep it simple. Tell them to pick either the NLT, because there's so many choices you can get here for free, but the NLT, which is the New Living Translation, or the NIV. Most in here would be reading from one of those two versions. Whichever one you're reading from, have your friend read as well that way. Once you pick the version, then you're all set, and then you just do the one chapter a day, you know one word of wisdom. Everybody got the plan? You can do, and I think this is going to be really an exciting adventure for us here. I think it's going to be one that is rich, very rich. Let me just pause again a second here and ask for some help. Because we find ourselves in the weather conditions that we do today, would you help me get the word out? If there's a friend of yours who's normally with you here at Fox River, not going to be able to make it because of weather today, would you just tell them, hey, go online and check out the message. We're going to have it posted before noon today. So, you can just text them, hey, check it out, and then join us in the challenge. So we can kind of get the word out that way. Or if you just want to, tell them, hey, this is what we're doing if you want to check out the message, but here's the gist of it. We're going to do a 31-day challenge. Let's do it together. We'll just kind of share these things, back and forth, our word of wisdom, or whether we're using Facebook or Twitter or whatever thing you're going to do. But if we kind of grassroots get the word out, I'm really looking forward to seeing what God is going to do that way as well. As people that are open to wisdom, invite other people that would be open to wisdom to join with us together, that this may even go bigger and broader than it could have if we would have been here on good weather. But it just requires us to love another person enough to, you know, give them the heads up or to invite them in. Would you be willing to do that with me? All of our campuses? Okay, cool. All right. Now, let me give you four helps when it comes to the book of Proverbs. I think every one of us will be benefited by the four helps, and I'll move through them pretty quickly. But as you're reading this book, the book of God's wisdom, here's a couple of things that will be especially beneficial for us in it. The first one is this. It's the reminder that Proverbs is going to challenge me over and over again. It's going to help me to answer this one question. And the question is this. What is the wise thing to do? This question alone may be the greatest tool that you have and use in all of 2015. What is the wise thing for me to do? Now, Proverbs isn't going to answer the question specifically. Whatever your situation, whether it's at work, whether it's at home, whether it's a finance question, you're asking yourself, now, what would be the wise thing for me to do? You're not going to be in Proverbs 17 and just all of a sudden, there's the answer. Make this sale, make this transition, etc. What Proverbs is going to do is it's going to equip you, it's going to help you to be able to answer the question. It's going to set you up so that you can answer those questions. You may have heard, this isn't a Bible proverb, but it's a proverb nonetheless. You may have heard the proverb that goes like this. Give a man a fish, feed him for a, feed him for a day, right? Teach a man to fish, feed him for a, lifetime, exactly. If you haven't heard it, very self-evident right away. Proverbs teaches you to fish, as it were, for wisdom, to be able to get that. If we would ask ourselves this question with the situations we're facing, the relationships that we're looking at, what is the wise thing to do? And then we would do what the answer to that question is. Think about this. Financially, what's the wise thing for me to do? And I do it. Am I going to be richer or poor? You know, it's going to take me the direction I want to go, right? Relationships. If I'm looking at this relationship and ask question and do, what's the wise thing for me to do? Am I going to have relationships moving in the direction I want them to, or are they going in the opposite direction? What's going to be going on? Yeah, for sure, right? I mean, just life. If I'm living my life out and living it by what's the wise thing to do and doing it, is life going to be better or not? What is it? Right, I mean, this is one of the greatest tools when we learn to ask and look for. We've learned for the wise thing. We discern the wise thing. That's what God wants for us to have. And that's why he's given to us the book of Proverbs. Second truth, help that will help us with the book of Proverbs. And that's this. Proverbs, its genre or writing style is what's called Hebrew poetry. So don't think rhyme that way, that the words rhyme. Think parallelism. Now, what's parallelism? Parallelism, every verse in Proverbs, sometimes it's a couple of them, but every verse has two parts. Part one states the truth. Part two restates the truth, either in a similar way or in an opposite way. But both of them help to drive the truth home deeper. Here's a couple examples, all right? Proverbs chapter 16, verse number 18. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. You see the parallelism? Here's the truth. Pride goes before destruction. In other words, pride sets you up in a bad way. That's the principle, right? A haughty spirit before a fall. It has restated the same truth in a similar way in both cases. Pride puts you in the place that you do not want to be. It is setting you up for a hard fall. Different example. Proverbs 10:1. A wise son brings joy to his father, but a foolish son brings grief to his mother. See the parallelism? Here's the truth. Here it's stated in the opposite way. What's the one truth it's saying? A child's behavior is definitely going to have an effect on their parents. A wise son doesn't just bring joy to his father, but it brings joy to what? Yeah, to his mother as well. So it's not that here's, you know, wise son, it's only for the dad, foolish son, only for the mother. It's the one truth. Wise kids, parents happy. Foolish kids, parents, you know, they're dealing with it that way. And that's how Proverbs is going to go. So in each case, God is giving us two ways to look at it so we can see it with even greater clarity. Cool, huh? Third truth. Proverbs are wisdom principles. Now think principle versus a precept or a promise that goes on right here. Now here's what I mean by principles. Principles have universality. Principles were just as true 3,000 years ago as they are today. That's the amazing thing about Proverbs, because you're going to be reading this book and going like, that's exactly what I need for today. Though they were written, as I said, 3,000 years ago. They apply to all cultures. So here is a principle, example of it. A kind answer soothes angry feelings, but harsh words stir them up. So back in Solomon's day, if you spoke kindly to a person that's all agitated or worked up or angry, it had a soothing effect. Can you believe that that's how people were 3,000 years ago? But today, a kind answer soothes angry feelings, doesn't it? And a harsh word stirs them up. Now, here's what I mean by principle. If you speak with kindness or softness to somebody that's angry or agitated, does it have a tendency to calm things down, to, you know, allow the room to be able to have, you know, get the edge off it? Is that true? I mean, yeah, we can all think of things like that, right? We can think of it in our home. You know, you walk in the door, and whoever's on the other side of the door, they're like, where you been? And they say it with an edge in an accusing way. Now, if you come back and go like, I'm actually working for a living, how does the conversation go from that point on? Right? But is it always, always, always true? Is it true 100% of the time that a kind answer soothes angry feelings? Are there no exceptions to that? Doesn't always work, but you can go on 98.5% of the time, principle. Principle has this truth arc to it. Build your life on principles, though realize, in this case, with principles, you might come across an exception along the way. And if you treat the Proverbs as the principles they are, it won't put you into this weird spot sometime that you're trying to build a promise out of what is actually a principle. With God's promises, they're true 100% of the time. Here's the last one. I'm going to talk about the key. There is a key to the book of Proverbs, and with this key, you will unlock the entire book to it. The key is found over and over in it. One of the places that we read the key to Proverbs is Proverbs chapter 9. The fear of the Lord, can I just put the key right there? The fear of the Lord, it's the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. Of the Holy One is understanding. See the parallelism again? Fear of the Lord, it's the beginning of wisdom. Knowledge of the Holy One, understanding. Another place we see the key that comes up again, and as I mentioned it, we're going to have them over and over again. The very first chapter that we read today, we're going to read this in Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. Parallelism. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. So the key to the book of Proverbs would be what? Say it with me. It's the fear of the Lord. That's exactly right. Now, when I say fear of the Lord, for many people, this is what they're thinking. In their minds, first picture that comes up, right? All the way back to Oz itself. I am! Right? And like, Everybody, you know, just shaking in terror that way. I mean, that's the fear of the Lord. Not what the fear of the Lord is. The fear of the Lord isn't where God says you better quake and shake in your boots because judgment, it's always on my fingertips ready just to be rained down upon you. The fear of the Lord is going to be one of the most important factors of our life. It's made up of two components. If you're not taking any other notes, write these two things down. The fear of the Lord, here's the two components. They are awe and they are trust. The fear of the Lord, it flows from awe, or here's the awe factor. The fear of the Lord is the recognition of who God is and what God's done. Wisdom begins with recognizing who God is. That's tweetable. Wisdom. It's the recognition of who God is, what he's done and can do. Now, the second component is what God desires to flow from the first. When we recognize God for who he is, what he's done, his desire is that we would then respond to that with trust. Or in other words, because of who God is and what he's done, I can trust him. I will trust him. And therein is the beginning of wisdom and the fear of the Lord. It's interesting. Jesus said this. Jesus said that the fear of God is the antidote to all other fears. Fear of God, see the synonym here, the Lord. The fear of the Lord. When I recognize who God is and what he's done and I can trust him, it is the antidote for all of the other fears or the specific fear that I might be facing at this point in my life. It's the beginning of wisdom. One of the leading applications of the fear of the Lord for us today, a first response to it, recognition of who God is and what he's done and that I can trust him, brings us right back to receiving Jesus. When you recognize who Jesus is, the Son of God, what he's done, his life, crucifixion, resurrection, it begs the question, will you trust him? And if you haven't yet, that is, put your faith and trust in Jesus because of who God is and what he's done for you, that would be your first step of living or applying wisdom in your life and from which wisdom continues to flow forth from. So you're ready to begin? We've got our 31-day wisdom challenge right here. And in the bottom, we've got just a simple line across there. I've got a dotted line up here because you always hear people say to sign on the dotted line, right? Are you ready to sign up? The 31-day wisdom challenge beginning today? I'm going to go like, yes, I am in. Everywhere, raise it high. Will you join us in Proverbs? Take the challenge with us. I think it is going to be a wonderful experience of God's working and giving us wisdom and the fruits of it in our lives together. And let me encourage you, let's get the word out and share it with others. Should we pray together? Thank you, Lord, that you love to give wisdom. Help us to have open hearts for it. In this moment, Jesus, we just pause to give opportunity for anyone here, anyone listening that now might want to trust you as their Savior, recognizing who you are, what you've done for them, feeling this working of your spirit in theirs, affirming this truth. It is true, and I do need this. And now would say, Jesus, I want to receive you as my Savior. If that's you or your prayer, can I just see by a very high raised hand right now? All right. Anyone else? Wonderful. Yeah, cool. Thank you again for your working, Father. May that personal work continue in each and every one of our lives, we pray. We ask in the name of Jesus, and everybody in agreement said, Amen.